Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to start a new paper, paper 19, The Coordinate Trinity Origin Beings. And that starts on page 214 in the original book. So let's say a little prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for being with us on these nights and watching over us and helping us understand some of the scogbligoop that I come up with. Pray that you'll open our hearts and minds, help us remember some of this, so that when we get to the mansion worlds, we won't be totally lost. Anyway, thank you.
Amen.
Blessing us. Thank you. And thank you for being with us daily. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 All right. Trinity, coordinate Trinity origin beings. Let's see, Jane, you're at the top of the list tonight.
I am. Okay. Yep. Where shall I stop?
Go all the way down through the list. Right? Yeah, the first paragraph and the seven things there. Okay. Get it up there. Okay.
The coordinate Trinity origin beings. This paradise group designated the coordinate Trinity origin beings, embraces the Trinity teacher sons, also classed among the paradise sons of God, three groups of high super universe administrators, and the somewhat impersonal category of the inspired Trinity spirits. Even the Havona natives may properly be included in this classification of Trinity personalities, along with numerous groups of beings resident on paradise. Those Trinity origin beings to be considered in this discussion are: one, the Trinity teacher's sons; two, perfecters of wisdom; three, divine counselors; four, universal censors; five, inspired Trinity spirits; six, Havona natives; seven, paradise citizens.
Okay, so let's think about this a minute. These are grouped in a group called the coordinate Trinity origin beings, okay? Because they're not really of the same group. They just all come from the Trinity. Okay, so what it entails is really six different groups, or five different groups. One, the first group being the Trinity teacher sons. Okay, the second group being the perfecters of wisdom, divine counselors, and universal censors. Those are all in the same group. Okay, and then we have the inspired Trinity spirits that are a separate group to all themselves. They call them somewhat impersonal because they don't even know if they have personality. Okay. And then, of course, you have the Havona natives, which is a group in itself. And then you have the paradise citizens, which is a group in their self. Okay. But they're all, they all come from the Trinity. So that's why they group them all in this seven group. Okay. I wanted to make sure that's clear. That's why they break them up into different classes in this very first paragraph. Okay. And I'm not going to say too much more because we're going to break this down in great detail tonight. Now, remember on the last paper, remember me taking you off on a little trip studying the perfecters of wisdom, the divine counselors, and the universal censors? Y'all remember that? Little bit of it?
A little bit of it, yeah.
We're going to really put it all together tonight, this paper. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. Diane, would you take the next one, please, dear?
Accepting the Trinity teacher sons and possibly the inspired Trinity spirits, these groups are of definite numbers. Their creation is a finished and past event.
So the ones that's in created, as far as they know, are finished. That's it. Okay. And here's a little picture of all the Paradise Trinity grouped created being, not created. Most of these were eventuated. Some of them created, some of them eventuated. And I put this slide together several years ago. to kind of break these down, kind of remind us of what these do. Okay. So I'm going to take the first one and we'll each take one. Okay. The coordinate Trinity origin meet the Trinity teacher sons of origin of Trinity by origin of Trinity nature and function. They are almost wholly devoted to the services of divine sonship. What are they saying there? The Trinity teacher sons are assigned to make the other divine sons, which includes the magisterial and the creator sons, they are devoted to making their services more effective. Okay, and remember, the Trinity teacher sons are the one that can take place of what? The Eternals of Days when they're gone, right? Mm-hmm. And it's also the Trinity teacher sons that come to a planet when we reach light and life to enlighten us all. Okay, so they are exactly what they say they are. They are teacher sons, and they teach all sorts of all levels of mortals and celestial beings. All right. Okay, Gary, would you take the next one? The Perfectors of Wisdom.
Okay, my screen's a little bit messed up, so I can see if I can move it. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Perfectors of Wisdom, designated to personify the wisdom of the divinity in the super universe. There are exactly 7 billion of these beings in existence, and 1 billion are assigned to each of the 7 super universes.
Okay. Now, when you say perfectors of wisdom, you have to include what two other beings? Divine counselors and universal censors. Okay, because they come of in a group of three. They always function except for specific things like writing these papers. The perfectors of wisdom, the divine counselors, and the universal censors all singly have written many of these papers for us. Okay, and if you look at the end of the sections, it tells you each paper tells you who wrote it. And so the perfectors of wisdom, the divine counselors, and the universal censors all are concerned with enlightening everyone in the universe, along with being what? The judicial branch of the 7 super universes, right? So that's why they all work in groups of three. And it's the universal censors, remember, are the ones that the Ancients of Days never makes a life or death decision about an individual without a universal censor, ever. Okay? So we're going to get a little bit more into this perfectors of wisdom in a minute. But what I want to mention here is there are 7 billion of these, and that means there's a billion assigned to each of the 7 super universes. Okay? All right, Rodney, would you take the next one, the divine counselors?
Yes, 3. Divine counselors. Council of deity to the realms of the 7 super universes. They are 21 billion counselors in service, and 3 billion are assigned to each super universe.
So 3 billion times 7 is what? 21 billion, right? Okay. Now notice here it says the one above it, the perfectors of wisdom, said they are the wisdom of divinity in the super universes. See that? Mm-hmm. This says that the divine counselors are what? The council of deity in the 7 super universes. You see that? All right. And we're going to see something very interesting a little bit farther down in the paper about this tonight. Okay. Pam, you want to take universal censors? Can you read that on what you're looking at?
I think so. Okay. Number 4, universal censors. There are exactly 8 billion universal censors in existence. These unique beings are the judgment of deity. They are the judgment of the Paradise Trinity. Even the Ancients of Days do not sit in judgment except in association with the universal censors.
That's pretty important, isn't it? Okay. So with these three, you have the wisdom, the counsel, and the judgment all together. See this? All three of them. All right. And there's 8 billion of these. Why? Instead of 7 billion. Because there's one on every single planet of Havona. So that is the other billion.
Okay.
All right. That's why there are 8 billion of them instead of 7. All right. Let's go down to the next one. The next one is the mystery one. Okay. Jane, will you take it?
Which one? Number five.
Number five.
Five, the inspired Trinity spirits. We fully understand neither the nature nor the conduct of the inspired spirits, for they are one of the few holy secret orders of beings in existence.
So they don't even know a lot about them, right? So they can't tell us a lot about them. Now, the last two is just as much of a mystery, the Havona natives and paradise citizens, right? Diane, would you read those two together for me, please?
Six, Havona natives. You must await your arrival in Havona when you can greet them as spirit comrades. Seven, paradise citizens. There are resident on paradise numerous groups of superb beings, the paradise citizens.
Now,
you know what that means, people? In the last three, we found the source of the Illuminati.
That's a good one.
How about that? Really? Okay, so the Havona, it's interesting that when God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, God the Spirit, created paradise and Havona, okay? When it was created or brought into existence, whether you want to say it's eventuated or created, it's interesting that they divided Havona into beings called Havona natives, mm-hmm. right? And that paradise he brought into existence paradise citizens that are totally different than the Havona native.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem kind of odd to you?
Yeah, it does.
Kind of strange. So there's two different orders.
Separate planets. So
well, they have separate existences. The Havona natives live on planets, the billion worlds of Havona, where the paradise citizens live on paradise, right?
That'd be my choice.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is supposedly all of these were made by the Trinity or brought into existence by the Trinity. Because if it wasn't for that, you could think, well, Paradise Citizens was brought into existence by the Father and the Havona natives by the Son, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would think that, but that's not the case. All of them was brought into existence by both. Mm. Okay, so let's take a step back here and go to number one, the Trinity teacher sons. Okay. Would you take that very first paragraph, Gary, on the Trinity teacher sons?
All the high orders of celestial personalities revealed to you, the Trinity teacher sons alone act in a dual capacity. By origin of Trinity nature, in function, they are almost wholly devoted to the services of the Trinity sonship.
Divine sonship.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
they are the liaison beings who bridge the universal gulf between Trinity and dual origin personalities. Who'd have ever thought of that?
Yeah. Who do you think the dual origin personalities are? That's the Creator sons, right?
That's okay. Right. You said that last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, who else? The Magisterial sons. Right? They're dual origin. Meaning, for the Creator sons, God the Father, God the Son created them, right? So those are dual origin beings, divine beings, okay? So they are split between bridging the gulf between Trinity personalities, all the Trinity staff, and the staff of the Creator Sons, right? And in doing that, they do two things. They have the capacity to take the place of whom? The Eternals of Days, because they're Trinity origin beings, right? They also have the capacity to train all of us stupid little mortals down in a dual origin thing all the way down to the service on individual planets. So they rate the whole gamut of the universe, if you think about it, right? That's why there's so many of them. And we're going to find that out in the next paragraph. Rodney, would you take that next paragraph?
Yes. While the stationary sons of the Trinity are of completed numbers, the teacher sons are constantly increasing. What the final number of teacher sons will be, I do not know. I can, however, state that at the last periodic report to Uversa, the Paradise Records indicated 21 million.
No, trillion.
21 trillion, 1 billion, 624,000.
No, 1 million. I'm sorry. 21 billion. Rodney, I misquoted you there. Okay. Yeah, 21 billion. So. Yeah, yeah.
21 billion.
Yeah.
1,624,821 of these sons in service.
So if you figure there's 21 billion of them, there's enough to be what? 3 billion on each super universe?
Yes. Right?
3 mm-hmm. billion on each super universe.
Even more, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they do a lot of different things. Okay.
So there's at least that many.
At least that many and constantly increasing, right? All right. Pam, you want to take the next one?
Okay. These beings are the only group of the sons of God revealed to you whose origin is in the Paradise Trinity. They range the central and super universes, and an enormous core is assigned to each local universe. They also serve the individual planets, as do the other Paradise Sons of God. Since this scheme of the grand universe is not fully developed, large numbers of teacher sons are held in the reserves on Paradise, and they volunteer for emergency duty and unusual services in all divisions of the grand universe. On the lone worlds of space, in the local and super universes, and on the worlds of Havona. They also function on Paradise, but it will be more helpful to postpone their detailed consideration until we come to the discussion of the Paradise Sons of God.
Okay, and that's the next paper coming up. Okay, so we'll go over those at great length when we get on the next paper. All right. Jane, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. For example, the human mind...
No, this connection, in this connection.
Oh, sorry. In this connection, however, it may be noted that teacher sons are the supreme coordinating personalities of Trinity origin. In such a far-flung universe of universes, there is always great danger of succumbing to the error of the circumscribed viewpoint, to the evil inherent in a segmentalized conception of reality and divinity.
Now that's an interesting sentence. The inherent evil in a segmentalized conception of reality and deity. You see that?
Divinity. I have to read that all over again.
Yeah, that, in other words, it could be evil to conceive of these in the wrong viewpoint.
Well, Roger, like the Jesus papers point out, evil is just being ignorant of God's will.
That's right. That's right. It is. Misstepping away from God's will, right? Doing things
not knowing it.
Not knowing
it. Being unconscious of it.
That's right.
This describes the sins of Kalagaska.
Yes, it does.
And also the sins of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, it does. It also would describe perfectly what the Catholic Church would call the sins of omission, right?
I don't know. I've never been Catholic, so I can't.
You know what I'm talking about, Jane?
Yes, I do.
Sins of an omission. It's the same thing. It's an inherent evil and misconceiving of reality and misconceiving of divinity, right?
But okay. That's not.
So you leave those concepts out. So the conclusions you derive from those concepts are in error. You follow me?
Roger.
Yeah.
Sin is being consciously aware.
Yeah, that's our definition, though, Rodney. You know, that's what Jesus taught. Yeah. Yeah, that's what Jesus taught, but that's not what most of the churches believe, though, is it?
Right.
Well, there is this line here, the evil inherent in a segmentalized conception. So now this is a mindful error.
Yes.
Of reality and divinity.
Yeah, so by segmenting it.
By segmenting purposely and dividing.
Dividing it
apart.
In such a way that's in error.
It's an error because you're separating all reality from divinity.
Right.
And really, that's a big wrong, isn't it?
It's a big wrong. It's a very big wrong because many of the misconceptions that we derived from the New Testament and the Old Testament, really, many of the misconceptions that we derived from that, and we even believe most of the churches today, many of those are from this very thing.
Very thing. Because this is, if I look at it with my stupid mind, I'm thinking, yeah, this is looking at God from the bottom up.
Right. Yeah, from the bottom up.
From the bottom up.
And we're going to get into that in the next paragraph.
Misconception, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst misconception we can make. Now,
and it's still alive now.
It's still alive now. Now, the big part of this is this. We have been teaching people for years, ever since the Urantia book came out, okay? We've been teaching people, I can tell you this, being a teacher myself, that we got it from the foundation to start out with, okay? And we've been teaching people to read the Jesus papers first, okay? We've been doing it for years and years and years. In reality, what he's going to tell us in the next paragraph, in the next couple paragraphs, actually, but well, in the next three or four, he's going to tell us that approaching divinity from the bottom working up is an error, okay? Mm-hmm. Instead of approaching divinity from the top working down. And that's why I beat this paragraph to death, because that is an evil inherent in the segmentalization conception of reality and divinity. Okay. And we've all been guilty of this. You know, when you talk to people about the Urantia book, what do we always tell people? Oh, read the Jesus papers first. It's the easiest part. Because it's the easiest part because it's the bottom part. Right.
Roger. What I really love about the Urantia book is starting at the beginning, not that I would read every single chapter from the beginning, but I love understanding or trying to understand the whole hierarchy of God and yes. coming down. That's what I love.
Yeah. And that's the way they tell us we should learn and teach it both. Okay. Yeah. Start at the beginning and work our way down. Now, no one can tell me that you can read the foreword the first time through and get it. You just can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's really an exercise in patience and humility
and faith. Yeah.
And
yeah,
all faith that. And right. trust. And right. because to be honest, I'm reading it slowly with you. And I had read, I think, with you in the archives before I yeah. joined the group. I think I had gotten to like paper 44. But yeah. when I'm reading this, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, that's None the thing it. About it. Yeah, None. Yeah, because it becomes gobbledygook in your head.
Yeah. You know?
And so that's why it's meant to be a reference. It's meant to be something you refer back to when you have a question or you need an explanation of something you just studied. Okay, and to do that, you have to start from what?
The beginning,
the beginning, the first one, not the forward, but the paper on God the Father.
On God the Father.
Right. It doesn't hurt to read through the forward, but you're not going to understand it the first time. I don't care who you are. You know,
Roger, didn't you give us an explanation of the forward a long time ago?
Well, I did. I've taught three classes on the forward. I taught a class, an 11-week class. It was actually 11 years ago now, at Rodney's house, about the universe and how all this stuff fits into the forward. And then immediately following that, I taught the forward. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I taught it again when we read through it one other time. And then 2 years ago, I taught the forward again. It was like I was telling Diane the other day. I said, you know, I've taught the forward three times now. And I think on the third time through, it's starting to make a little more sense to people because I've gotten better at explaining it. Right. And that's because I've expanded over those years. Right. I've learned more over those years mm-hmm. myself. And I told her the other day, maybe in a couple more years, I need to teach the forward again, because by that time, maybe I can make it so simple that anybody could understand it. You know,
yeah.
you know, who knows? But
I don't think so.
Actually, Roger, I think it was simple enough because I belonged to a study group, and I first started the first time reading the Urantia with a different study group. And to be truthful with you, we went through the foreword and I didn't get a handle on anything.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how I ran into your side. I don't know how, probably grace.
Yeah.
I went through your study groups with the forward and I got a handle on things, at least while
started to understand it.
While I was listening, I was understanding. Even if I forgot after, but I was
understanding what we were saying. Yeah. And it takes multiple times to do that. But I wanted to really bring this forward in this paragraph, because you're going to see what they're going to say in the next paragraph. It's going to make sense to you. Okay. So let's move on to the next paragraph. I think
so, Roger.
Yeah.
Perhaps it should be pointed out the Trinity teacher sons are not, they would never embrace evil or sin.
No.
They're just saying because it's so vast, they're the supreme. They keep things in line.
That's right. That's straighten us all out.
Straighten it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, just dawned on me how that can be, what Roger's saying. If you're looking at something from above, okay, you can see things going on that shouldn't be, because you're at the destination.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But if you're going up through your progressing, matriculating, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't see up above, and you don't
see the big picture,
that knowledge, that wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so therefore your knowledge is segmented And so you go off this track and you go off on this track. So that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it does. And it's interesting too, because you can read the Jesus papers and not know anything about the first three parts of the book at all. Okay. And you will understand a good bit of it because it's simple, right? It's about the life of Christ. But all these things that he teaches doesn't come into full view where you can understand them until you have had the knowledge of the first three parts of the book.
Not enough context.
Not enough context. You can't see the big picture, right? But if you do it the other way, by the time you get to the Jesus papers and you read through it, you go, oh, of course, you know, I see what he's saying. You know, it all makes sense. It all comes alive. You know, it's really funny. When I was a Baptist, studying to be a Baptist preacher, and I used to always come back to the same thing. I would listen to some of the lessons on Jesus and I'd think, what in the heck is he talking about? You know, why would he say something like that? You know, and it's over and over and over again because it was from the New Testament. And then after I read the entire Urantia book and read the life of Jesus in the Urantia book, it's like, of course, it has to be this way. You know, it's just the difference of perception. That's what it is, right? Okay, so let's move on to the next one so we can get the big picture on this. Sweetie, I'm going to mute you.
For example, the human mind would ordinarily crave to approach the cosmic philosophy portrayed in these revelations by proceeding from the simple and the finite to the complex and the infinite, from human origins to divine destinies. But that path does not lead to spiritual wisdom. Such a procedure is the easiest path to a certain form of genetic knowledge, but at best, it can only reveal man's origin. It reveals little or nothing about his divine destiny.
That is pretty straightforward, isn't it?
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of being a Catholic, because I was raised as a Catholic and spent time in a convent. And I really loved God during all that experience, but I didn't really know God. And I didn't understand Jesus except through love. And when I found the Urantia book, it's like what I was looking for was just there. It was so obvious. And it wasn't in the Catholic Church. It's not in any other church, really. It is in the Urantia book. But yeah. Catholicism, when I was studying Catholicism in college and in seminary, it was so shallow. And when I found the book, my whole life just opened up, my awareness and everything about really, you know, everything I'd been wondering about for years since I was a very young girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, think about what he's saying here. When he's saying that if the human mind craves to approach cosmic philosophy, yeah. In other words, the cosmos as it is, right? By proceeding from the simple to the and the finite to the complex and infinite, that's exactly what we all try to do, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we read the Jesus papers first, we take the simple, don't we? Right. We take the simple lessons that Jesus is trying to teach us and realize, but we miss the infinite, right? Mm-hmm. Even though Jesus is the infinite, right? Mm-hmm. And he says here, from human origins to divine destinies. In other words, we start from where we are and where we're supposed to go. The trouble is, we don't know where we're supposed to go. Right? What we do when we do go, right? But if we do it the other way around, and he says that's the easiest path for genetic knowledge, in other words, where we come from, right? Mm-hmm. But if we really want to know about our divine destiny or about divinity, we have to start with what? Divinity, mm-hmm. Right? We have to understand the divine first, okay? That's the next paragraph says it well. Gary, would you take the next one?
Roger first.
Yeah.
Who wrote this paper?
This was, I don't remember, the Divine Council or Universal Censor. I think it was divine counselor, right?
Divine counselor.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Even the study. Even the study of man's biologic. Thank you. Some words I come to, I can't say them even though I know them.
I do the same thing. Yeah.
Evolution on Urantia. There are grave objections to the exclusive historic approach to his present day status and his current problems. The true perspective of any reality problem, human or divine, terrestrial or cosmic, can be had only by the full and unprejudiced study and correlation of three phases of universe reality: origin, history, and destiny. The proper understanding of these three experiential realities affords the basics for wise esteem of the current status, wise estimate of the current status.
So I guess watching Ancient Aliens is not going to do it then, is it?
No. No, they really
are aliens. You know, if you think about this once more, and I'm starting to get some clarity, if you start from the beginning of something and follow it to the end, you have a better understanding, because it's the basics upon basics upon basics.
Right.
But we, as an end product, are starting from the end and gone to the beginning, which makes it extremely difficult. So that just proves that starting from the beginning is the way to go.
Right. It is. I mean, it's, when you're studying this stuff anyway, you know, if you have a grasp of divinity, not just God, but divinity. Okay. If you have a grasp of divinity, everything else falls in place. Okay. And by understanding divinity, you can understand what? The seven parts of the universe, the seven ways that the universe is divided up into the personality aspects of every combination of the Trinity, the seven master spirits, right? All the Trinity personalities, the Eternals of Days, the Ancients of Days, you can't understand them unless you have a grasp of divinity, right? And everything goes down. And by the time you get to the creator sons and the creative mother spirits, you understand where they fit in the big picture. And so it all makes sense.
It's not right? About
one religion. Roger, you just done, you put a light on me. We have seven super universes.
Right.
And we have seven different variations of the Trinity.
Right.
Okay. And each, like we're under the three. The Father, right. Son, Holy Ghost, whatever, however you term them,
the
okay?
Spirit. Yeah, infinite spirit.
So we're under this one here. Then when we get this one understood, we go over here and start to understand another universe,
another part,
our thing. And then by the time we get through the seventh, we will know God in completeness.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Gary. You hit it right on the head. And by the time we get through Uversa, I mean, by the time we get through Uversa and Havona, we've got the complete picture, right? And our understanding is complete. So by the time we get through the billion worlds of Havona and every variation of everything, right, we know how to recognize the infinite spirit. We know how to recognize God the Son. We know how to recognize God the Father because we've seen every variation of that, right? So when we stand before God the Father, it's not a mystery anymore, is it? It all makes sense, doesn't it? Pretty much. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Did we just do the study body? We did. Okay. The next one is Rodney, I believe.
Okay.
When the human mind.
Yes. When the human mind takes to follow the philosophic technique of starting from the lower to approach the higher, whether in biology or theology, it is always in danger of committing four errors of reasoning.
Go ahead and take the first one too, Ronnie.
The first error is it may utterly fail to perceive the final and completed evolutionary goal of either personal attainment or cosmic destiny.
So what they're telling us here is when we start to do this backwards, like we've been trying to do, right? Even we tried to do it in the Urantia book by studying with the Jesus papers, right? By starting backwards, what we fail to understand is the final and complete evolutionary goal of either personal attainment or cosmic destiny. What are they saying there? In other words, we don't come to understand what personally we are supposed to attain, not only on this world, but on the mansion worlds, right? Now, all the way to Havana, okay? And we don't understand the where we're going, our destiny, right? So if we don't understand what we're supposed to attain, we walk through life going, what's the purpose of this world, right? You ever go, you want to do something interesting? I always ask the same question. I like to go out to eat with my wife. We do this a lot. And the waitress and waitresses always come to the table and says, do y'all have any questions? Wrong thing to ask Roger. And I always say the same thing. What's the meaning of life? This is what that question is. What is the meaning of life? What is your personal attainment? What is your cosmic destiny? That's what that question is, right? What's the meaning of life? Do you think anybody gets it? No. So I always come back with one sentence. You know what the sentence is? To do the will of God the Father. To do the will of God the Father in your life. That is our personal attainment, that is our cosmic destiny. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And nobody ever gets it. Never had anybody say to serve God. You know, that would be the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But how many times have you heard people that you know that's going through life say something like this? I don't have any purpose in life. I don't understand what this is all about. I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing. Everybody must have something they're supposed to do with their life, don't they? And I just want to scream. Of course you do, stupid. You know, open your eyes, open your heart, listen to God. You know, we all have something to do. What we're doing living this life, is that something we have to do, right? Even if it's taking care of kitties every day, all day long, it is a part of our goal and destiny in life, right?
Yes.
It is. We all have purpose. No one goes around without purpose. They just don't. Okay. That's a sad life. That's a very, very sad life. All right. Boy, I got to preach tonight, didn't I? Okay. Yeah. Let's go on to the second one.
If it wasn't for the Urantia book, I'd be stuck in mud.
Oh, yeah. Most people are, Roddy. That's what's so sad, you know? They go around with blinders on, you know? And it's so simple. It's funny because the Jesus papers, if you don't get anything else out of the whole book, the Jesus papers gives you two things. It gives you a goal for personal attainment, salvation, right? It gives you, two, a cosmic destiny. How many times does Jesus teach us? We don't stop on this life. We go on to the next one, right? We have a cosmic destiny. He teaches us that over and over and over again. That's what he's talking about for salvation, right? Just makes sense. All right.
Do you know, if the Urantia book had come out and was understood thousands of years ago, we would not have any departments of philosophy in the universities.
No, we wouldn't, Gary. You got it. You know, you understand it.
No religious study classes.
No, yeah. The light bulb's on above your head. You know it. You know, you've got it. You've got the concept, right?
60 watt.
60 watt. All right, let's go on to the next paragraph. I think, who just read? I think Pam's up again.
Okay.
I just
Number
read.
Two.
Yeah, it's Pam. Yeah.
It may commit the supreme philosophical blunder by oversimplifying cosmic evolutionary experiential reality, thus leading to the distortion of facts, to the perversion of truth, and to the misconception of destinies.
Whew, would you not say that is that describes the New Testament?
It may commit the supreme philosophical blunder.
Think about that. You know, lack of understanding of the Book of Revelation. I've heard the Book of Revelation interpreted in so many ways, it makes me sick to even hear it anymore, okay? Because people don't understand what's in this book.
They never can find a timeline.
They can't find the timeline. That's right. It makes no sense, right? And all the little sayings in the New Testament that takes the truth and does this one little part of this sentence, the distortion of facts to the perversion of truth, to the misconception of destinies. And all the apostles were guilty of this, were they not? Look at what's in the New Testament. Right? They were all guilty of it. And they call this a what? Supreme philosophical blunder. By oversimplifying cosmic evolutionary experiential reality. You can't oversimplify it, right? That's all there is to it. I'm probably guilty of that too, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one. Jane, would you take the next one? Number three.
The study of causation is the perusal of history. But the knowledge of how a being becomes does not necessarily provide an intelligent understanding of the present status and true character of such a being.
Of course not, right? Mm-hmm. We're always growing. We're always growing. That's what the experience is about, right? If you think you will know everything because you know where you come from, you're wrong, right? Because we evolve, right? We always evolve. The planet evolves. The people evolves. The universe evolves. Nothing's sitting still, you know? We're on this ball that's spinning constantly, right? All right. Number four, Diane, I think you get number four again.
For history alone fails adequately to reveal future development, destiny. Finite origins are helpful, but only divine causes reveal final effects. Eternal ends are not shown in time beginnings. The present can be truly interpreted only in the light of the correlated past and future.
Why do you think they give us so much history in this book of our planet? So we understand, right? We have a background to build on. And they give us just enough background to get us to the next step, right? That's all we need is just enough background to get to the next step. And the other thing is we failed to record what has come in the past, right? Go ahead, Jane.
No, do you want to finish the thought before I interrupt?
No, go right ahead.
As you were speaking there, it reminded me of something you said last week, or maybe it was even Tuesday, I don't know, when we were reading and you said something, I will, I was, I am.
That's, yes, and we're going to cut, actually, it's funny you say that, because in the next section down here, where is it? When it talks about the different parts of the perfection of wisdom,
the spirit is working. Counseling. That is good enough for me.
Yes, yes.
That's good enough for me. You don't talks, need to bother and explain.
Yeah, it's
we're going to
bring these all together. Because remember when we studied last week, it talked about how the perfectors of wisdom is the I was. Remember that? Uh-huh.
And the censors.
Divine counselors.
Yes.
Are the I am, right? And the censors are the I will be.
Oh.
Okay. So if you think about this, it says this, I was, I am, I will be. And they're talking mm-hmm. about judgment and history. Okay. So if you know your history, I was, and you know what's going on today, I am, you can predict what?
The future. I will be.
I will
I
be.
I will be.
And that's this right. is this section here, this error, the error that they're talking about is exactly that, because they would bypass all of that.
That's exactly right, Jane.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. If you take out the I was, do you have the whole picture? No.
No.
If you take out the I am, think about the I am, the postulated I am, that I am, the universe, the Father. You can't take that out. Nothing functions without it, right? And you sure can't have a future, a destiny, without what?
I will
be. Destiny, yeah. Right?
And these three beings, the perfectors of wisdom, the divine counselors, and the universal censors, make up the Trinity aspect of all three of these. And that's the judgment of a universe, right? The judgment is in the censor, right? So with the I am, I was, I am, and I will be, with the perfector of wisdom, the divine counselor, and the universal censor, you have the Trinity aspect of all reality making decisions for us in this universe. You got all three of them, right? And that's what this is talking about too. You can't take any part of it out. You can't have full understanding without all three parts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, we got Jane with the light bulb over her head.
You lost your light. Ask her what wattage.
40, Gary. 40.
You see why I keep calling this enlightenment? That's what it's about. All right. Did we do number four or not? Okay, no, I don't think we did. So you were going to read number four, Diane.
No, we did.
We did number four? Okay.
Yeah, we just did that.
All right. Hang on, I need to go over number four, because there was a couple things in number four I didn't mention. Okay. If you just have history, ancient aliens, right? If you just have history, it fails adequately to reveal future development, destiny, right? Mm-hmm. This is the what? I was, I am. I will be, right? Mm-hmm. You can't have one without all three. It fails to reveal it, right? It says here that finite origins are helpful. It's a good idea to know where you come from. But it doesn't reveal the final effects, does it? Okay? That's why we have the three different beings, right?
Eternal ends are not shown.
And eternal ends are not shown in time beginnings. Why is that? Because you can't have it as just one. You can't have eternal ends by themselves, can you?
No.
You have to have the beginnings too.
Yeah. Right?
Oh.
Works both ways. And the present can only be interpreted in the light of the past and the future, right? That is what the I am, right? Mm-hmm. You see how this all fits together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a well put together jigsaw puzzle.
It is. It all works together. All right, so now they're going to justify what they all just taught us in all these things in the next paragraph. So, Gary, would you take the next paragraph?
Okay. Therefore, because of this and for still other reasons, do we employ the technique of approaching man and his planetary problems by embarking on the time-space journey from the infinite, eternal, and divine paradise source and center of all personality, reality, and all cosmic existence.
They just explained everything to us, didn't they? This is why we start at the beginning and we work our way to the end. Okay? That's why this book was written the way it was. That's why it was written by divine counselors, perfectors of wisdoms, and universal censors. Okay? That's why they start with God the Father, the first source and center in the very first paragraph of the very first part of the book, right? All comes together.
Yeah, what the hardest lesson is, coming to where we are right now, you know, this paper 19 we just started.
Yeah.
It's the whole process so far, even though it's so far away from where we are.
Where we're going, that's right.
Yeah, to our destiny, it's so far away, it's unimaginable. And some of the papers are unimaginable.
Yeah.
But they are doing their utmost to show us the God, the Trinity, and all the works descending, finding, trickling its way down to our local universe and our own planet, which is overwhelming when you really look at the infinity of God and the, I couldn't even name them even though I've read the papers and studied. I would say I studied, not read. If I read, I wouldn't even have a clue, but I have a clue because I've been studying.
But
there is such grandness, and yet they're taking the time to show how everything is in place and how there is a purpose and a reason. And really what I come out with in conclusion is that you have to be really, really dumb not to say your will be done.
Yeah, you do. And you know, and if you think about it, the papers, we go through life with a melody, don't we? You know, this melody that goes through our life. The papers takes the melody and creates a symphony, right? Mm. And all the stuff we've been studying is learning how to plug in the symphony to the melody so that we can hear the whole tune.
Lovely, right? Beautifully said.
It's very well said.
Very nice.
It is.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work and a lot of intellectual stamina to get through it, but it's worthwhile, isn't it? I mean, when
definitely
it
worthwhile. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It stops you from getting, you know, certain mental laziness.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, let's start. We're going over our time here, so I guess we need to say a prayer and get off for tonight. So let's say a little prayer and we'll quit for tonight. Who hadn't prayed in a while? Rodney, would you like to pray for us tonight?
think I'll pass.
Okay. How about you, Gary? You feel like praying?
I'll give it a shot.
All right. Thank you.
Dear Father, thank you for giving us the enlightenment. At least for me, I see your overall thing clearer today, as I think others have. Please continue to shine that light upon us so that we can see the light of day as if high noon. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you at home for joining us. Please come see us again.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Y'all come back now. You're here.
You're here.
Y'all
come back now.
Let me stop the recording. Stop our recording.